Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So today we're going to talk about different forms of employment, specifically freelance work versus a full-time job. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with a question from someone who's struggling to decide whether she wants to be freelance or a full-time employee. Then we'll discuss what each form of employment involves and which kind of employment may be best for you.
I really like this, and I think it's a juicy topic, very relevant and important because freelance or self-employment isn't for everyone, even though it's very glamorous sometimes to fantasize about it when you have a full-time job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very easy to fantasize versus reality. All right, so let's go to our first question, Logan.
10 months ago, my then employer restructured the company and I was laid off. I started to work freelance as a copy editor, and I've been very busy ever since. The problem is, I really miss the office environment and being part of a team. I didn't realize it, but having a job gave me a sense of structure and affiliation. Each week, I knew what my deadlines were and when I needed to complete certain assignments for my boss. I also felt like I was part of a team and liked the fact that we depended on each other. As a freelancer, I struggle to organize my day. I tend to take on too many projects, and I often miss deadlines or work 7 days a week to keep up. I recently met with someone who wants to hire me for a full-time position, and I'm very tempted to say yes. Your advice?
Yeah, it's all about knowing yourself. There's really no right or wrong here. There isn't one that's better than the other. Yeah. It's really what's better for you.
Right.
You know, and that's a very personal decision. I sometimes am surprised when people want to try self-employment and then hate it, and then the other way around when they, you know, go right. for a full-time job and then they hate it. It's really, and you can't deny it about yourself. Like you can't, like I think this person, you know, tried. That's great that you tried, but it's you know, you're proving it to yourself.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I'm with you 100%, and I think it's a good point. It's great that this person has tried for 10 months to see what it's like for her and to actually recognize what are the things that you may like about going to a job every day that could be better for you in the long run.
I mean, it's amazing that they have more work than they can do after 10 months. I mean, that doesn't happen to a lot of self-employed people.
Yeah. It's true.
So, I think this person just learned what they needed to learn about themselves. It's really, it is about your temperature, you know, knowing what you can deal with.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if you know, for example, that you tend to say yes or take on too many things at a time, left to your own devices, you probably experience that somewhat at work, but you're going to experience it tenfold as a self-employed.
Well, no one's going to bail you out.
That's right. And no one's going to say you don't have time to do that.
Right.
And no one really knows what your workload is but you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You and the dog, you know, who's up really late at night.
And the dust balls.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's fascinating to me that this person was able to generate that kind of work, though. That's impressive.
That's impressive, though. I mean,
that kind of says they'd be good as a self-employed person, but then on the other hand, no.
Well, maybe the other part, Kathy, is that if you are to be self-employed, you need to be part of a partnership. Like you need someone who's going to be more operational and you be more of the crank out the content kind of thing.
Right.
So, but it does sound like left to your own devices, this is just too challenging for you because you have a hard time setting boundaries. It's really
there's other things this person says that they don't like.
Right.
So they miss the structure and the affiliation.
Affiliation is important.
So usually people that love to be self-employed don't say that. They don't say, boy, I miss the structure and the affiliation. They go, thank goodness I don't have that.
I miss knowing what my boss expects from me. No.
No. No. I mean, people, many people, when they start a business, do feel isolated.
Yes.
Yeah. Because they're by themselves.
Yes.
But there's ways to solve that. You know, you can go work in a multi-space where there's other business owners.
WeWork.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you can rent space from somebody where there's a lot of activity. I mean, there's ways to solve that. You can set appointments outside.
Yeah.
But they don't want to be... responsible to a boss. They don't want to deal with that.
Right. Or office politics. That's the other thing you have to be willing to deal with.
The mean girl down the hall.
Oh, but it's so fun.
I mean, all of the nonsense that comes with it. But some people, not that they like that part, but they feel better about the structure.
Mm-hmm. I think there's also a big... relationship between if you're risk averse and whether you want to be self-employed, you know, and that so sometimes the whole feeling of, that you're kind of hanging out there is too insecure a feeling, mm-hmm. right? That you don't have people and systems that will back you. And I remember when we used to run business groups, we had a specific group that was about startups, and we would always talk about, can you take the risk? You know, are you someone who's able to take calculated risks, and what would be at risk for you if you were out on your own? Mm-hmm. And most people would say that they felt kind of professionally naked if they weren't affiliated with a company of some kind.
Well, I think that's true. A lot of people need to have a name brand that they work for. They feel that that's an important thing. And you know, when you are out there and your name means nothing, that can be hard.
And it does mean nothing in the beginning.
And then eventually you hopefully build some kind of a name. Like I'm very proud of the name that we've built.
Yeah.
Now, it took a long time to build it, and it didn't always feel very good.
Right.
I remember this one incident that happened to me. This is at the very beginning of starting this business. I was doing sales training at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And I had been asked to give a freebie, sort of a test, mm-hmm. you know, sales training to this group of recruiters. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have any money. I was really kind of broke. And I didn't have the cab fare or the bus fare. Mm-hmm. So I walked there and I gave the talk. And then it got really cold and I had to walk home and I was exhausted and I really gave everything I could to them.
Yeah.
And I had to walk home and I just remember that feeling.
Yes.
Of, you know, they were all in suits. They were sitting at a beautiful table. They all had plenty of money to take home and have a nice dinner on the table. And I remember feeling like 2 inches off the ground.
What Kathy's talking about is a
very common
phenomenon. Mm-hmm. I remember going and giving, when I was just trying to build my practice doing these lunch and learns. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did one on birth order that actually got a lot of attention in a way. But the thing was that I remember coming in, mm-hmm. just like you're saying, I go to like, at one point, a family member was working for ABC.
Wow.
Right? So I went to, but the funny thing is, so we go in there and everyone's in the newsroom, and so nobody has any attention for what it is that I'm talking about.
Right,
They're jumping in and out of the room, and no one really cares. And at the end, someone shakes my hand and says, "Thanks a lot," and, you know, shows me the door. And I just remember feeling like about peanut size.
Yeah.
Because going in, I was like, this is my big break.
Yeah, so I'm sure we're encouraging a lot of people to go on their own.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember what happened the next day, but something good must
have
happened.
You have to endure. Sure. Exactly.
Yeah, but something good must have happened the next day where I got some, you know, nice piece of business. But it can be very isolating and very lonely at the beginning and not, you
and
know.
Very roller coastery, right? You go up, you go down, you go up, you go down. And
you know, somebody used a phrase with me this morning. She said, you know, some people's egos heal very quickly.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I must have that.
Uh-huh.
Because I've been able to withstand. You must have that also.
Yeah.
We've been able to stand a lot of, you know, no's in order to build a business.
Right.
And we don't take the yeses for granted now. We know what it takes.
No, we don't. I think the other thing, though, just looking at this person, that one of the things that I think has sustained us and does sustain you if you think you want to be self-employed or freelance is to have some kind of a vision. And I guess I don't really hear a vision there, right? This is
just work.
Yeah.
Getting a bunch of work. So it may be, again, that being full-time employed is a safer bet for right now until you would know what's the driving force. Because I think that vision really is the thing that sustains you on the bad days.
Right. Okay, so this person was just sort of you know, put out to pasture and then just got work.
Made something of it.
Right. Yeah. And that's right. That's not really building a business.
Right.
Well, we're not really talking about building business anyway. It's freelance.
Right.
Right.
But I think that's true. Just to have freelance work without knowing where it's going.
Yeah.
Because every company's going somewhere. You know the company's goals, hopefully.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you do need to have that.
You do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's probably what's missing for this person.
Right.
That's interesting. So, yeah, I mean, my answer to the question is take that job, right? I mean, you have to vet it first.
I agree. Yeah, vet. Oh, yes. I would say the key aspect, and we always end up bringing this up, is to find out about the culture of that employer. And don't think that this is your only option. Clearly, if you've got more work than you know what to do with, you are in high demand, right? Mm-hmm. So if you decide that you want full-time employment,
Go on a job search.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, make sure the culture, make sure the person you're reporting to is somebody you want to report to.
Right.
Right.
So make sure you meet that team, the person you're reporting to, the people you're working with, maybe the people you're managing.
Right.
I would want to meet that team. And what happened to the person prior to you? And why are they gone? And
what's the work environment?
Digging.
And what's the health of the company? You just got restructured out of one company. Mm-hmm. So you want to go and make sure that whatever's happening at this new site is moving with the trends and looks promising.
Yeah. Right. So do your homework. Don't just jump. But it's very flattering that somebody offered you a job. And I'm wondering if some of the freelance work is coming from that company.
Right.
Like that maybe they see the quality of the work, and that is a great way to get a job.
Yes.
Is that's your it's your audition.
Yeah.
That's a good point. So if you're an unhappy freelancer, not this person, but someone else, you might want to look at your clients and see if there's one that you'd like to jump on board with.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
So I have a bunch of clients going through this that, you know, they're on a flip side, one side or the other, you know, I don't like being employed. I don't like being self-employed, you know, that we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so anything else you want to tell this person?
No. So I'm going to recap because I'm the summarizer. Summarizer bunny. We're saying that freelance is not for everyone. We're saying that this individual sounds like there are things about full-time job that you really enjoy, and it's okay if freelancing is not for you. It also sounds like if it is one day, you'll need to have a vision what it is you're trying to build. And that when you do, if you take this job or any other job, just make sure that it's a good fit, that the culture is a place that's healthy, that you want to work in, so you won't be restructured out again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with sort of self-employment, freelance versus self-employment.
Yeah. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
Ever feel like you or your company could use a 20-minute therapy session? Well, K-Squared has your back. Simply download a K-Talk, plug in those ear pods, or gather a group of your coworkers and feel better instantly. Well, almost. Each K-Talk covers a specific topic and costs a fraction of what a traditional therapy session would. Feeling stressed by your workload? There's a K-Talk for that. Working with someone who's done you wrong? There's a K-Talk for that. Can't ask for a raise, need a vacation, hate your boss? K-Talk, K-Talk, K-Talk. Just go to ksquaredenterprises.com and purchase the K-Talk that fits your situation. Now back to our show.
So welcome back, everyone. So we're on the topic of freelance versus full-time job.
Yeah.
And that's self-employment versus full-time job. And, you know, I want to say that, you know, it's not easy. Neither one are easy. You just have to know yourself which one is right for you. Mm-hmm. And, of course, nothing is 100% perfect. But what's tough about your own business, and freelance is your own business, is bringing the business in.
Right.
You got to constantly bring it in. And then you've got to collect the money.
Right.
And there's lots of problems sometimes. People, you know, don't pay on time. You think the money's going to be there, and then they don't pay. Or maybe they have a 60, 90-day policy of paying.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you...
Large corporations.
The larger, the worse.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And don't be fooled by a brand name.
So make sure you have... right. Make sure you've got some, you know, a short contract that specifies you know, how to work with you, that you know you're agreeing to deliver this work by a certain date, and they are agreeing to pay by a certain date, and maybe there's a deposit, and then which is before you do the work, and then payment in full on a, and have them sign it. And, you know, I try to get all my clients to do that. And even with the contracts, you know, sometimes there's a problem. But there's simple agreements online that you can download that you don't have to pay very much for.
So you're saying you have to be willing to go for the business and bring in the money that the business generates.
Yeah, so when you're, you know, you get a client and then everything's great, they give you a piece of business and then you give them the contract, you have a chance of losing that business.
Yeah.
Right. You say, well, you just need to sign my agreement. And this is why a lot of people don't ask for an agreement, because they're afraid.
They don't want to deal with it.
They don't want to deal with, what, you have an agreement? Well, we're not going to sign that. Mm. And I'm going to tell you now that the chances of somebody who won't sign an agreement are very high that they're not going to pay you.
Right. And I'm going to tell you, even if they sign the agreement, because I've been, you might be chasing those checks, baby. I mean, I've been our collection department at different points in time.
She likes to do collections. She
will see her on that phone.
She'll call somebody every day until they send her a check, and she's very nice about
it.
That's
good.
But that's what it takes sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think actually one of the things we learned the hard way is that it's very good to find out in advance, if you can, the company or corporations or government organizations' payment, you know, what they actually do, like to find out from another freelancer.
You know, we've learned the hard way that you do have to understand how, you know, like if you work with the government, this is a big one. You have to become a vendor. You have to get a vendor number.
Right.
This takes a really long time, and you may be completing the work by the time you get a vendor number.
Right.
And then they
get paid about a year later.
Yeah, well, not that bad.
Not that bad.
But then they begin the process of the contract and then the invoice. And then from the date of invoices, it's 90 days till you get paid. I mean, it's a long time.
Yeah.
So you do want to learn. I mean, I ask that pretty much up front.
Yeah.
What's the process of getting paid? Should we start that process now?
Yeah.
Right. Good thing you asked.
And then I kind of know, you know, you got to fill out the W-9. I kind of know. And I don't mind all that whole thing. But anyway, I think we're really discouraging people. So let me get a little more positive. That it's more about protecting yourself, and that a good company that wants to hire you and has full intentions of paying you is accustomed to signing agreements.
Right. And
it's not a biggie.
What you're talking about in general is that you have to be willing to run your business as well as working on your business, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to do whatever product or service you do, but it's the actual operations that takes a lot of time and energy.
Yeah.
That bringing in the sales or writing up the proposal, if it's a proposal-based business, and making presentations and, you know, all that jazz.
Right. So getting the business, this is what many, many people say, I don't want that pressure.
Right.
And then you know it's not for you. It's a really easy, okay, I need a job. And I find that people that are good at bringing in business and enjoy that process don't like working at
for
a full-time job.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they miss that excitement. Right? What? It sounds crazy.
No, I think you're right. Well, I also think so the gratifying part of bringing in the business is you get to own it.
You get
to own whatever you do.
Yeah.
You do. I mean, we get to own our books. You know, you get to own whatever successes you have, whatever you build, whatever content you create, if that's what you do. And that's the part that I think is very exciting when you finally land that sale, if it's your first big sale or if it's just a nice client.
And then you become friendly with your clients, and then they become lifelong clients. Some of them, not all of them.
Yeah.
But there is it's a nice relationship, and they do give you repeat business, and then they recommend you to other people.
Right.
So once it gets going, there's kind of a magic to it. It just does build, but you still have to continue to get out there and bring in the business. So though, to me, that's if you cannot do those two things, then you probably
bring in the business and collect the money.
Right. Then you probably that's kind of the rule.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have to get a full-time job.
Yeah.
which is fine. Mm-hmm. Thank God there's people that want full-time jobs.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. Yeah, no, it's
which
great.
It's what most people do.
Yeah. It is. It is.
Just know that most full-time jobs are not that long anymore. Like your parents probably had jobs for 20 years or 30 years.
Yeah.
Most jobs don't last that long anymore because
right.
companies are constantly redeveloping as technology changes.
Right.
So you're going to be looking for jobs, which is similar to looking for business.
Right.
Right.
Well, that's interesting you say that. Years ago, the book Going Indie that we wrote mm-hmm. was called Going Indie, Freelance Temping and Part-Time Possibilities or something, Employment. And so...
I forgot the name.
Going Indie?
I forgot the tagline also.
Yeah, I think it was free, whatever.
Yeah, freelance.
Yeah, part-time. Anyway, it was about generating these opportunities, mm-hmm. right? And with the idea that that's the world of work now is one where you are constantly selling, repackaging and selling yourself, whether it's mm-hmm. to full-time right. employers mm-hmm. or to clients.
But, you know, it's kind of similar if you network within your job, you network with the right people and people in your industry, opportunities will come to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to just be starting a new job search all the time because yeah. you're really always on a job search and always interviewing and meeting people.
Right.
And then you decide when the right time is.
All right, so this brings us back to another recurring theme, right?
Which is
to always be building your network, whether yeah. you're a freelancer or a full-time employed person. Mm-hmm.
And so many of my clients get a job, and then they go, okay, done with right. the networking, and they don't work their industry. They don't work the people in the higher up in their company. And then when they are unhappy, they want to start again. And it's something you should be doing all the time. You don't have to do it every night, and you don't have to be an extrovert, but you should be connecting with people in your industry on mm-hmm. a regular basis mm-hmm. For many reasons. You could be asking advice. You could be, wanting to give advice. I mean, you've got to find ways to connect.
Yeah.
What you're looking at me like, there's a lot of people that won't do that.
No.
Well, they are.
Well, probably. I think it's similar. Yeah, actually, I'm bringing back my dating analogy. I think it's quite...
Oh, my God, we haven't heard about that in a while.
We haven't heard it in a while.
So it's similar to when you finally, have your partner with your... If you're living with them or engaged
or whatever.
Well,
that's when you should stop.
Well, but I don't think you should let yourself go.
Oh.
So I'm thinking along those
you get
lines.
Get comfy. Yeah. You better start to put on a few pounds.
Walk around in sweats all the time.
Uh-huh.
Go on an airplane in a leisure suit or whatever. I mean,
right.
I don't know. But you just,
right.
you should keep.
I think I've done it. not today, but I think I have, yeah.
Yeah, you just keep yourself in good condition. And mm-hmm. I think that's, you're talking about keeping yourself in good professional condition and well connected, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and same I would say for being in a relationship, which a lot of people think, okay, now I don't have to do anything. But in fact, I believe you need to continue to build your outside relationships for healthy life.
So for the two of you, what were things that made you realize that you wanted to shift from full-time to business? What were both of your personal experiences? And what you spoke about vision before,
yeah.
what was the vision that you both kind of clung on to?
I always worked for my father, and he had a small business, so I was not uncomfortable.
Right.
And then my first big job was at Wrangler Jeans, and I'm really grateful for the 5 years I worked there because I learned how to structure how big companies were structured. Everything was systematized.
Right.
And I learned so much, but what told me that I should go was that every year I was promoted. No one else was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was... so I was promoted a lot, and I really worked, and it wasn't hard for me. I just was, I had a different, a higher energy level and capacity to get things done than everyone else.
Right.
So,
right.
And there were many comments that would come to me like, oh, like you should run this company or some company. Like,
yeah,
so
yeah.
People were saying that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And after 5 years, I I mean, I thought the company was great. I loved every minute of it, but I wasn't that interested in putting jeans on everybody. I mean, I liked it for the 5 years. I was really young, but I really wanted to do something that had a bigger impact on the world. So I definitely was mission driven, and I knew that I had the work ethic.
Right.
So those two things happened for me.
Yeah. And mine actually is interesting because I started out human service. I worked in the Fenway Community Health Center. Then I did the Peace Corps. Then I was a recruiter for the Peace Corps. But I realized that I wanted to do something, I guess, more original in a way to help people, to empower them. I got very clear on my vision, which is I wanted to give people the skills to create the work life that they wanted, because I realized that work in the United States is really our caste system. You know, it's how we categorize people in the world, and it's also our identity. So work needs to therefore be interesting and fulfilling. So anyway, that became my vision, was to help people fulfill their work life vision and move through the emotional obstacles to succeed. And then I realized that there was a forum for doing that, that actually Kathy and I could do that together, combining our expertise. So mine was a little bit more of a circuitous route.
Right.
But I want to say that I don't think I had a lot of support around me. I mean, this all came to me.
Yeah.
And I didn't, it just, people around me were like, oh, good for you. But nobody really, you know, nobody really helped me. But I, you know, after Working With You Is Killing Me came out, I got a call from somebody, or maybe she sent me an email, and she said that she knew me from Wrangler. I don't remember her.
Yeah.
And that she always knew I would, you know, that she would read about me one day. I was like, oh, wow, maybe she should have told me that then. But she didn't. And no, I just, I don't remember getting a lot of support.
Right.
How about you? Did you?
I didn't get any obstruction, I'll say that. And I think I got support in terms of doing what I wanted to do, but I didn't have a lot of people around me that knew about building a business or
I didn't get obstruction either.
Yeah. So, and I think the thing that's interesting is, because you're kind of making it up as you go, you can report on how it's going. And people can get excited for that, right? But it's a funny thing.
But I got involved with a lot of different groups of people starting businesses, so I got a lot of support that way. Others going through it, and then I learned, oh, so this is normal, that, you know, you get a lot of no's, and you know, nobody knows who you are, so you've got to knock on a lot of doors. You have to do a lot of marketing. You really have to put yourself out there. You know, I really, I mean, I realized the 5 years at Wrangler were actually easy. That this was much harder. So that's not for everybody, and I respect that. So it's all about knowing what's right for you. It really is. I mean, you can make a difference working at a big company. I have clients that only work for companies that are making a difference. And and they're very clear. They want to be an employee. They want to work with these brilliant other people and make a difference that way. So you just have to really assess what is right for you. And that is usually something you have to do with a professional. I went to a career counselor when I left, and he took me through a really eye-opening assessment where I really got to know myself. That was very helpful. So, and I do that for people now because I loved that work.
Well, that's it. I think,
No, I think that's it. There's always more. Such a big topic.
It is a big topic. And actually, what I was going to say is, join us next time. We'd love to hear your thoughts about freelance versus full-time employment, which you could tweet us at AskK2. Join us next time for another My Crazy Office. And please send your stories, your questions, to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.